This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Pamel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Psalm 116. To all of our ministers here and to officer members of this body, and to all of you, my father's children, my brothers and sisters, we bid you good morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Him we live, move, and have our being. Who bled, hung, and died one Friday afternoon, rose up 3 days later with all power, not as a weakling, but with all power in His hands. That same power is available to every last one of us. 50 days later, He ascends to the Father, where He makes intercession for all of us, that we might live victorious every day of our lives. To God be the glory. Repeat after me, I have so much to thank God for. He's been good to me. He's given me victory. I have so much, so much to thank God for. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Thank God for our music ministry blessing us today. Come on, come on. Come on, give God glory for our music ministry. Amen. Psalm 116, commencing at verse number 12. A few of the following, you'll find these words written thusly. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. If you're not too antisocial this morning, would you look to your left or right, find your neighbor, and look him in the eye? And say to him these words, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor,
oh neighbor,
I owe God this. Find you one more neighbor, and look him in the eye and say to him, neighbor, you might want to move.
You
might not like it today, but this is personal. Because I owe God this. Give God a praise he wants to tell you in the house today. I owe God this. This psalm that we've just read is an acrostic psalm. It's a devotional psalm, but what I love about it the most, it's an individual psalm. We don't know who the writer of this psalm is. Some have believed that it actually echoes the words of our Savior. Some believe that it's some sojourner after captivity coming back to the house of God, coming back to Jerusalem. We don't know who the author of this psalm is, but we do know that it was an individual who thought it enough to be so grateful unto God to pen this psalm of gratitude and praise to the Almighty God. Regardless of what all the other sojourners have done, this writer decides to say to God, I'm thankful. And I've been saved from death, destruction, and dismay. And instead of going on with my life, business as usual, I'm going to give God sacrificial, crazy, undignified praise. Now, before you get upset in church this morning, I want to reiterate to you that it's an individual psalm. So today, the writer's not going to make you praise God like he praises God, but all I'm looking for this morning is one or two individuals who doesn't mind the world knowing that God has saved your life. He has not just saved your soul, he has saved your behind. That you could have been dead, you should have been dead, ought to be dead, but somehow, some way, he has touched you with the hand of mercy and allows you another day. It's an individual psalm. It's not a congregational psalm, so you will have some people throughout this message who will have their arms folded up, who will have their mouth stuck out, who have their chest stuck out saying it don't take all that. And that's why I said to you before to tell that neighbor you might want to excuse yourself because I'm about to turn this pew into a praise pew because I owe God this. As much hell as I've been through this week, as much stuff I've had to deal with all week, and you mean to tell me that I was allowed to be back in God's house once again? I'm sorry, neighbor, but I owe God this. I done been through too much. I owe God this. I've been too sick. I owe God this. I've been too broke. I owe God this. I've been locked up and now I'm out. I owe God this. And he's worthy of my praise. I owe God this. And this writer puts pen to paper and helps us this morning. And he tells us this morning that he owes God this. He's looking for reasons, ways to bless the Lord. And he starts it out in the psalm in verse number 1, and he tells us, why is it that you want to praise God? If you look at verse 1, he'll tell you, I love the Lord. That's why we sang that hymn a while ago. I wasn't trying to kill your party, but I wanted to let you know today that without that praise, without loving the Lord, all that praise is going to be empty. Without loving God, that music will be empty. Without a relationship with God, you just ain't going to get it. You'll leave out of here defeated until you learn how to have a relationship with the Lord. I love the Lord.
And today, y'all, I'm not calling you to be a congregation. Today, I'm calling you to be an individual. There's anybody in the house besides me who individually can say, I love the Lord. And he says, because I love the Lord, I've got to give him something. I came from nothing, and I end up somewhere. I came from nobody, ended up being someone. I came with nothing, and now I got something. I owe God this. Because he's coming. If you read his story through verses 1 through 12, you'll see that the writer is giving us his life story. But he begins the psalm by saying, I love the Lord. Because he heard my cries. He heard me when I called out to him. Y'all missed it. He said, I love the Lord, not just because he's good. I know he's good, but I've got experience with God. I wish I was the only one in church this morning who knows what it's like to cry out unto the Lord and call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord not only was being God, but he heard me and he answered me and delivered me from my storm. Is there anybody else in Zion who can give God praise this morning and say, Lord, not only when I called you, you answered. I love the Lord. And he gives us his story. He says, y'all just don't know how good God's been to me. You see, what we do in church, y'all, you got to be careful, because in church, all you see is a bunch of finished products. You don't see the process. You don't know what it took to get me to this point. If you knew what was beneath the suit, if you knew what was beneath the robe, if you knew what was beneath the shouting, you wouldn't be judging me so bad. You wouldn't call me a fraud. But if you knew the hell, if you knew what darts the devil tried to use to destroy my life, y'all, I owe him this. I owe him. I love the Lord. And he says, I was in the pits of Sheol. I was in the pits of hell. He said, I was headed for death. I was near death, and nobody but the Lord delivered me out of it. He's encouraged, because included in his psalm, included in his story, is the bad stuff. Y'all missed it. Included in his story is that I ain't always had my I's dotted. I ain't always had my T's crossed. I ain't always been looking good. I ain't always been healthy. I ain't always been wealthy. I ain't always been married. I ain't always been looking like this. I had to come from somewhere. I need somebody to understand today that you won't know healing until you've been sick. You won't know breakthrough till you've been locked up. You won't know coming up till you've been down. You won't understand a palace till you've been in the pit. But I need somebody to help me testify that the same God in the palace is the same God in the pit. Same God in the mountain is the same God in the valley. And he was there for me all the time. And I owe him this. Here I am. Here I am, the psalmist says, I'm back to where I started. I'm back where I started from. I'm back where I started. I'm back where I need to be. Lord, have mercy. I'm back where I need to be. I am restored. I am rejuvenated. I am revived. I am replenished. I am rebuilt. I'm back where I need to be. Y'all missed it. I got a story, and the first chapters of my book are pretty ugly, but I turn the page, and I thank God I serve a God who creates new chapters, that the story don't end in my bad stuff. If I keep turning the page, keep waking up in the morning. Oh. I got a story. It's individual now. Because I'm tired, the psalmist says, of trying to beg y'all to praise God. Because I can't get you to do something you ain't been doing no way. But no longer, the psalmist says, and he helps us with it today too, will I let you not doing it cause me not to do it. Because I know I owe God this. I love him. And I loved him and still had to go through. Me loving him didn't mean he's going to keep me from it. Me loving him, him loving me, know he's going to keep me while I'm in it. And he promised that he was going to keep me while I was in it. He never promised me I would never go through it, but he did promise to keep me while I'm in it. And here I am back one more again, and I ought to tell him thank you because I made it back. I made it back to where I started. I went through captivity. I went through suffering. I went through the bitterness. And I might have to go through it again. But right now, I'm back in the tabernacle. Right now, I'm back in the sanctuary. Right now, I'm back in the presence of God. So I might as well do something while I'm here. So the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he heard my cry. He encourages himself and his soul. Say, soul, go ahead and bless him because he brought you back. You were there. You are a used to be. So you can't have testimony without truth. I did go through that. I did mess up. They did hurt my feelings. They did destroy me, but it didn't destroy my soul. I made it back. I made it back. And the psalmist now is walking around in verse number 12. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Lord knows I'm grateful. I'm not all that I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. Lord, I thank you that I had a roof over my head. I got clothes on my back. I've got food on my table. Oh, my God. I ain't got a dime, but I'm still provided for. I'm here. Look. Can you just take a moment and look at yourself? Okay, you don't want to do that. Look in yourself then. If you don't want to look at yourself, look in yourself. And can you just take a moment and think about how far God has brought you? Can I get a little nosy? Can I let you look for a moment at where you went where God ain't send you and he still went back and brought you back? And I don't mind y'all knowing. I had to wrestle with this because this has to recondition us to what we know Christianity to be. He says, before you ask for anything. I'm not coming today to get. The psalmist says, I'm showing up in church the morning to give. And he asks himself the question, what can I render? New International Version is going to tell you, how can I pay him back? How can I pay God back for all? And look what the psalmist says, for his benefits, not for his pay. Benefits is the good stuff. Benefits is the extra stuff. Benefits is the stuff you ain't asked for. Okay, y'all ain't got no benefits. Peace of mind. Joy in your heart. Protection from the enemy. You do have enemies, but they couldn't kill you because of the benefit. And you mean tell me you ain't got nothing to tell them thank you for? Benefits. Turn around and look. Benefits. Turn around and look. Benefits. Y'all missing God. Turn around and look coming into the sanctuary. Benefits. I'm going to try one more time. Intentional benefits. No, he ain't worthy though, is he? Huh? Okay. So he asked himself, I've got to pay him back. You know, when you give somebody something, you want to be paid back. And you know why you want to be paid back? Because most time you need your money. But what do you give a God who don't need nothing? What do you give a God who is self-sufficient? What can I give God? You can't pay enough for your miracle. You can't pay enough for your blessing. You can't give enough for your peace of mind. You can't shout enough to get to him. You can't preach enough to receive him. What can I give him? What do you give a God who has everything? What do you give a God who is everything? What do you give a God who made everything? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You mean to tell him you think you're looking good for him? He don't need you. He don't need me. But he still was good to me. And I got all this in me. In my heart, I want to give him. I've got to give him something. So if I can't give him what he need, I'll give him what he like. Can I tell you what he like? Can I tell you what he like? He likes praise. He likes praise. He likes glory. He likes honor. He likes reverence. Yeah, that's what he likes. Because I can't give him anything that he needs because he needs nothing. He is sufficient within himself. So anything I got, he gave it to me. So why would he need it? But I can give him what he don't need, but what he like. Praise. So the psalmist says, are y'all mad now, ain't you? Now, once again, I told you, it's individual. Because some people are not in verse 12. Some people did not wake up this morning wanting to know, what can I give God? Some people came to this house today trying to see what God's going to give you. That ain't today's sermon. Maybe next week, maybe next month. I don't know when it's going to be your Sunday. Today ain't your Sunday to kind of see what God going to give you. Because the truth be told, God done gave you enough already. Lord have mercy. So I owe God, the psalmist says, and I'm going to join the psalmist. I don't know about how many of y'all going to join us. But I'm going to join the psalmist, and I'm going to say, I'm going to give him praise. I owe it to him to give him praise. I owe it to him. I'm looking back over my life. I'm not looking to your business. I'm not looking to her business. I can't tell you what to do. All I can tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to give God praise because I owe it to him. Listen, I can't pay him back, but I'm sure finna try. Every day of my life, I'm gonna try. Now, the psalm don't start in church. The psalm starts at home. He ends up in verse 19 in church, but he makes a decision at the house, on the job, in the car, at the ball game, that I can't wait to give God some glory. So if you're interested, if you understand what you got to give him, your praise that you and I got to give him, it's got to, number one, be premeditated. It's got to be premeditated praise. You can't just randomly just pop up and praise. It's got to be on your mind to praise. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This stuff just don't happen. I praise him on purpose. Look what the psalmist says. He said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will. You see it, verse 13. I'm making plans what I'm going to do with my praise. God done gave me excess. God has given me prosperity. God has given me a newness. I'm not going to use what he gave me and go to the boat this month. I'm not going to take the excess that he gave me and waste it on something stupid. Y'all still with me? I asked him for some stuff. He came through. Now I got it on my mind to bless the one who gave it to me. And before I bless the land, I'm going to bless the Lord. Yeah. I get a little extra. I'm going to get extra groceries. No, not before I bless the Lord. Now, see, it don't make sense to me, y'all. Y'all got to help me because I ain't a smart man. You got to help me understand something. Because how can you ask God, come to God's house, and ask God to give you time, energy, health, and then God come through and you don't come back to where you asked him to bless you? Oh, man, what happened to my amens and shouts? We done come to this altar and laid out. We done pulled Crisco, Wesson, canola, olive, every oil on you. And it got better, and you didn't come back. Till you needed some more Crisco, canola, Wesson, olive oil on you. There comes a point in time that you don't need to be a customer, you need to be an investor. I will take the cup of salvation. I will take, it's actually translated, I will lift the cup. The cup symbolizes your lot. It symbolizes your life. It symbolizes what you got to deal with. That's what the cup is. And the cup, the psalmist says, I will lift up. The cup, well, look, it ain't no cup of suffering. This is the cup of salvation. I came to the altar when I was suffering and I lifted my hands. So now he saved me from whatever I went through. I got to come back now and lift it up of salvation. I can't just be a sufferer and he didn't save me. So if I'm saved, I need to lift him up just like I did when I was suffering. It's a picture, ladies and gentlemen, of Passover. The book of Exodus talks about Passover when death was in the valley. When death was in the village, but the blood of the lamb was spread across doorposts above the doors of those who trusted God. And death passed over some people that it could have gotten if not for the blood over your house. And so when you get back into the festival, when you get to the feast, I can't help. I look over my life and I see people who died who didn't have to die. I should have died like they died, but some kind of way he passed over. What killed them didn't kill me. See, I told you it's personal. See, I guess everything that's been right for y'all, because some of y'all ain't moved yet. But I want to talk about me. I know for a fact it's some stuff that's done passed over me that should have passed through me. Some sickness that you living with and people wondering how you living with it, you don't even look sick. It's because death passed. So, when I get to the feast, I take the cup that I used to suffer with, and I take it now and make it a cup of salvation, and I toast the Lord. Here's to you, King of Kings. Here's to you, my Redeemer. Here's to you, my healer. Here's to you, my strength. Here's to you, my everything. Cheers to you. It's a toast. It's a cheer. It is a celebration as you lift the cup and bless the Lord. He said, I got it on my mind. I can't wait till I get to the feast. Can't wait till I get to the house. I can't wait to bless the Lord. And guess what? I don't need your cup to bless him. I got my own cup. Hallelujah. Bless your name. I ain't got to have your cup, but my cup is gonna match what I've been through. So listen. You can't to eulogize someone is to speak well of them. Y'all might want to sit down for this one. To eulogize someone is to speak well of them. And sometimes as a pastor, I'm called on to eulogize dead people. The problem is that sometimes the people that ask me to eulogize, I don't know them. So it's tough for me to speak about somebody I don't know. I can always give you a funeral sermon. I can give you an oration, but you ask for a eulogy. And you can only eulogize somebody you know. And what you know, your eulogy got to match how much you know. And so if you only know them a little bit, you can only eulogize them a little bit. And that's why I ain't mad at some of y'all this morning, because all you're showing is how much you know the Lord. Because if you only know him a little bit, you only go clap a little bit. You only go shout a little bit. You might stand up, might not. But when you think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you, and you know for yourself, you don't need nobody to pump you up, because you know for yourself how good God is. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. Cause listen, if I can preach over somebody dead, I ought to be able to shout over somebody living. I owe him this, and the praise I owe him is premeditated. It's a premeditated praise that is intentional. That me praising God ain't no accident. And I don't come to church and praise, I praise on my way too. See, too many of us got a home praise and a church praise. That's why you better be careful about asking people to make themselves at home. Because if they don't have way to praise God at home, because you don't tell them thank you till you get to church. But what if you never make it back to church? It's a premeditated praise. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Look how many times you can pray in the midst of your praise. I thought this was a praise. And while he was praising, I got to pray again. I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Four times, verses 2, 3, 17, 19, 13, and 17, you see, call on the name of the Lord in this song. Lord have mercy. It's a premeditated praise. Then can I push a little further? That he says, I will take the cup of salvation, call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I will pay my vows. That means that I owe God premeditated praise. And then, you ain't gonna like it, I owe God promised praise. Because I promised God when I was going through that I was gonna do better. I promised God when I was in that storm, I'm going to serve you all my life. I promise God that when you bring me out of this, you ain't got to worry about me no more. Now my praise got to shut up and start living better. Stop all that hollering in church if you ain't going to live no better at home. I ain't making this up. I made a vow. Oh, the amen don't stop there. I promise God. Oh, Lord. Who you bring me out of this, I'm going to give everything I got to the church. I'm going to pay off this. Pastor, you ain't got to worry about nothing. God, you ain't got to worry about nothing. When we get this little money. I wish God would let me hit that number. I'm not even going to look. You can go and say amen. I ain't going to look. You prayed about lottery numbers. You prayed, and you messed around and hit that number. Oh, you don't want to tell the truth in church. Okay. But guess what? He saw you hit that number. And you thought that the church was going to hold you bound to what you told us. It's a shame that you don't be wanting people to know how blessed you are. Because you don't want to own up to the promise you made when you ain't have nothing. Lord have mercy. Boy, you better get yourself out of trouble. Some of y'all are trying to look like wearing tater sacks to church and trying to look like you ain't got nothing. Because you think we done heard that you done come into some money. And stereotypes and the culture got you thinking that the pastor after your money. We miss you, sis. We miss you, bruh. When you coming back? But you made the vow. Lord, I promise you, if you just give me strength, if you heal my body, if you bless my mama, if you bless my sister, if you bring my child out, Lord, you got me. You made a vow. And it's time for you to pay what you owe. I will pay my vows. I ain't gonna pay your vows. I'm gonna pay my vows unto the Lord. That's the problem. You can lie to people all day, it don't matter. But you saying this stuff unto the Lord. And the Lord expects you to come through. Because could you handle him not coming through on what he promised you? Could you handle him not coming through? Mm-hmm. I'm going to pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, people wondered for years, why would he interject this into this song? He interjects this verse into the psalm. We do it at funerals all the time for people who've already died. But the true origin of this text was written, this verse was written to show us that because God sees you as precious, your death, your demise, your destruction matters to God. Therefore, he's going to protect you because you're precious. You missed it. Because God got more value on you than you have on you. You don't see yourself as worth much, but God sees you as precious because he created you for a purpose. And he created you, and he says, you're precious in my sight. You might not be nothing to your mama, might not be nothing to your daddy. People might never have nothing good to say, but in God's eyes, you are precious. And it matters me saving you. I didn't save your life for nothing. I didn't keep you for nothing. I didn't preserve you for nothing. It's about his eyes and how he sees you. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am your servant. I'm yours. You're mine. You belong to me. I belong to you. Oh, you start reflecting. When you praise God, you start reflecting on your relationship. with him, that I'm your servant. I don't mind people knowing. There was a day, because I ain't have no problem when I had to serve Satan. When I was serving Satan, I took on Satan's rules. I abided by Satan's rules. Don't y'all make me do it today, because y'all stay mad at me already. And I try not to do stuff y'all getting mad. All the H's get on the floor, and there y'all go. All the dogs get on the floor. And we're still working on it. And you run out there. But in the house of God, praise the Lord, saints.
Hallelujah.
I ain't got to praise God like you praise him. Just because I don't holler don't mean I don't love God. But you ain't tell the DJ that. Everything Satan tells us to do, we do it. Here we go now. Here we go. We do it. But somebody asks you, lift your hand. Lord. I done seen knees that can't praise God. Backs that can't move in the church. Catch them at a wedding reception, Bruce. But you get to church and you can't do nothing. Who you made a promise to? Who are you serving? And you don't want nobody to call you out. You can clown for the devil, but can't celebrate God's goodness. Bumper, come get me, man. You said you was going to take care of me, Bumper. Don't just let me sit here and do this. It is a promised praise that not only do I get to, I've got to. Because I told the Lord I was going to bless him. That I was going to give him as an offering. Y'all see it? I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You don't give him something that you can't live with. You start giving him stuff that's a sacrifice. In other words, I could be somewhere else, but I'm going to spend time with you. I could be giving that to something else stupid, but I'm going to give this to the Lord. That's called a sacrifice. Don't give God what you got left. Be a first fruit. Oh, y'all don't like that, man. You ought to be an offering. Don't give God what you got left. Don't wait till you get old and can't hardly do nothing else but breathe. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. That's all you got left is breath. How about you give him while you got something else besides breath? An offering of sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, people go tell you, I wouldn't be wasting my time. I wouldn't be doing all that. You don't understand my sacrifice. You don't understand how important this is for me to do this. Because there was a time I had nothing. And now he's giving me something. I'm going to give him everything. It's a promise praise. I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We'll call upon the name of the Lord. Because the more I call on his name, the psalmist figured it out. And about five or six of us done figured it out. Done figured something out. That praising God pleases God. Pleasing God wants to make you bless him more so you can, he can please you more. It's parents, you parents. You like your children being grateful. Because it shows that they appreciate what you gave them. And it makes you more apt to give them more because they know how to handle what you gave them. I'm going to try one more time. You parents, you can't stand when your children are ungrateful.
Amen.
It burns you up. As much as you worked that overtime and you made those sacrifices to give them and they don't even appreciate it, walking on the back of them shoes, tearing up the Xbox or whatever else, and threw the phone because they want an iPhone 30 and they got an iPhone 29 and you they want an iPhone 30 and they ain't downloaded and updated the 30 29 yet. And because they want an iPhone 30, they tap the 29. But when that child takes care of the iPhone 3, and you ask them, what is it can I give you? Because they ain't asking you for nothing, you just want to give them something. Because they ain't always begging you, they thanking you. Thank you for being a good mama. Thank you for being a good daddy. Thank you for giving us a roof. Thank you for paying bills. Thank you for cooking for me. I appreciate you, mom. Thank you for taking care of that. Thank you for picking me up from the game. Thank you for taking me to practice. Thank you for taking me to the doctor. I appreciate you, mom. I appreciate you, dad. That makes you feel good when your children appreciate you. Now, what would happen if we kept telling God, now you know what you'll do for your children. What would your God do for you? If you spend more time thanking him for what he's already done, he'll give you stuff you ain't even asked for because he likes to see you being grateful. Y'all see this right here? Right here I got a stack of paper, right? On this side. On this side I got nothing. And this is where we got to transition from. We got to transition from gimmies and thank yous. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Let your prayer life have more thank yous than gimmies. Because you've been with him long enough, he gonna take care of that anyway. So you spend your time thanking him for the stuff you already got and thanking for what's coming. And you gotta trust that he's gonna take care of all your needs, but you ain't gotta keep begging him. How about you spend time thanking him? Thank you, Lord. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be. How much? Because God loves to be loved on. He loves it. It makes him happy. You know what? My son got it for a change. He finally figured it out. That because I'm his father, I got to take care of him. But he is showing me now appreciation, and for once, he didn't ask me for nothing. At the altar, Old Testament picture of the altar. The one giving the sacrifice would give the sacrifice and pour it on the altar. They would pour on the altar. The blood of the altar sprinkled on the altar. The priest would take the leftover and then consume some of it. And then the priest would give it back to the one who sacrificed. Old Testament, sacrifice was given. It was given to God. It was sacrifice. I gave it all to him. I gave it all to him. I put my sacrifice in his hands, and I got what I needed. Trusting that he will give me what I need. Now, the trick to it is I don't give it so he will give it back. I give it because he's worthy of it all. Y'all see that? That's where it comes to a true trust relationship between you and God. That's why as an individual, I'm done when I tell you this. I'm done when I tell you it's premeditated, it's promised, and then lastly, it's public. I owe God premeditated praise. I owe God promised praise, but I owe God public praise. All right, y'all gonna say I'm making up the Bible. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Because the church prayed with and for you. And they need a return on their investment. And when this church went, or people in the ministry prayed with and for you, you owe it to God and to those people to give a praise testimony. That y'all, thank you for praying with and for me, because God moved just like we all believed that he would. How dare you be blessed. And you sit here like you ain't got nothing to say. Sit here like he ain't done nothing. Sit here with your mouth stuck out like somebody done stung you. You ought to be grateful to God that he got your note, won't say amen, won't say thank you, Jesus self, up again another morning. Look at it. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. I owe him public praise. Public praise. I'm shy. You owe him public praise. I don't do it like you do. You owe him public praise. You ought to want to do public praise because there's too many sinners and saints in the house at the same time. And can't nothing separate wheat from tare than true glory and praise and worship of the Most High God. Because when you start praising God like you lost your mind, the sinners in you, the devils around you, gonna get fighting mad. They gonna get sleepy. They gonna wanna get away from you. They gonna scoot down from you. But all that's gonna do is expose who they don't know. And you don't know, like I know, what the Lord has done for me. Don't judge my walk until you've been in my shoes. You don't know how far he brought me. You don't know how much he blessed me. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Hold on. This is an upper room song. An upper room before Jesus left to ascend to die for all of our sins. That he said to his disciples, take the cup. Drink of the cup. Y'all missed it. Take the cup and drink ye all of it. Because if you don't drink it, you ain't got no part with me. And the problem with some of us, we don't know how to get drunk in love with Christ. But you know how to get drunk in love with everything else. But you done took part of the cup of the suffering of Christ that Paul tells me in Romans that you shall partake of the glory. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. That's love. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. For me, he died. That's love. But that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, that's amazing love. That's amazing love. That love goes through you. That love goes through me. I owe him. I owe him. I thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me out. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. Thank Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for renewing me. Thank you, Lord, for a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How much do I owe him? How much do I owe him? How much do I owe him? He died just for me. How much do I owe him? How much praise can you give him? How much expression can you give him? Can you express yourself to him? Can you love on him in the face of people who gonna talk about you? Can you express yourself to him for the people who gonna say don't take all that? Can you lift your hands amongst people who stab you in the back? Can you love him when people hate you? Can you do it? All for Jesus. All for Jesus to me. All for Jesus. Perhaps you're not saved, and today you want to be saved. Perhaps you're already saved. He brought you back, and you haven't given him what he's due.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again. We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless.